Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just shut your eyes and we're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we honor your presence in this place today. God, we're humbled that the creator of the universe, of the heavens, of the stars, the sky, the mountains, the creator of all comes to meet with us. We thank you for your presence. Heavenly Father, I submit myself to you, to your will, to your desires, to your heart, for your people today. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, speak to us, we pray, that Jesus may be glorified. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you take your seat? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve such a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, you're obviously, it's like Paulo used to always say, he went through this phase where he suddenly said, I just want to preach at all nights because that's where the radical people are. But it's the radical people who get up 2 hours early and come to church when the service starts early. So God bless you, and God has something good for you today. Amen. Amen. You know, something I was thinking about church, and just let this drop into your heart. It's like services have two parts to them. They have the part which is about what I give God, which is praise and worship. That's what we give God. And then there is the part of when he gives us something. Now, obviously, when we give anything to God, we receive as well. But church, you know, the praise and worship is our opportunity just to give God a sacrifice. I just want to encourage every single person. Never undervalue the importance, the value of you giving God praise and worship. Of you saying, God, whatever it costs me just to be able to give you some praise, I'm going to do that today. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I want to read this morning. We're going to look briefly at the life at the call of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of these men that had a really strategic job to do. When the temple, when Jerusalem was lying in ruins, when Jerusalem was a complete mess, God raised up a man together with some other leaders to bring about restoration in the land. Now, you know, you may look in your life, you may look at your family, you may look at your neighborhood, you may look at the nation that you've come from. Do you know God has been, where's Junior? I can't see Junior. You know, and you're not the only one, but we have many Sierra Leoneans in here. God has been putting three African nations very strongly on my heart recently. Sierra Leone, Sudan, and Somalia. And they have one thing in common, war-torn. War-torn. You know, when you're from a nation that is war-torn, you're a bit like Nehemiah. Your nation is lying in ruins. Your nation is bereft of that sense of peace and purpose and unity. And I want to encourage you, you know, to allow yourself to be moved by the Holy Spirit for the places and people that are broken. Amen? Amen. You know, I am believing God. We've just finished 2 days of Healed for Life on Thursday and Friday. Some of the people who are there are here. Didn't God do a wonderful work? But it's so on my heart to take Healed for Life to those three nations. I want to take a team of people who will come with me, who will pay the sacrifice to bring healing to people who've had their limbs hacked off them, to people who've had their stomachs ripped open wide and their babies stolen from them, to people who've been raped, to those who've seen their families just destroyed and hurt and broken. You know? And this was like Nehemiah. His homeland was lying in ruins. And he couldn't remain happy. He couldn't remain at peace and at ease while he knew not only was it lying in ruins, but now was the time. There'd been a prophecy. The timing of the prophecy had been fulfilled, and he knew. Do you know what? This is the time of restoration. Let's say it together. This is the time of restoration. We live in a time of restoration. We live in a time where everything that's needed to bring restoration to families, to communities, to nations, to people. We live in a time where everything that we need to be able to bring the restoration of God is available to us. So I want to encourage you to allow God to have your heart, that your heart may become one that he can use to bring something to others. Amen? Amen. Now you see, when God gives you a mission or a mandate or a purpose, do you think the enemy just goes, ah, oh, well, lost that one, never mind. I'll just look for someone else to pick on. Does he do that? Does the enemy back off? No. And you see, this is one of the things I love about the book of Nehemiah. You see the opposition and how it can come at us. And also we learn how we deal with it. And I just want to look. There was one particular man in the book of Nehemiah, and this is what I love about God. You know, there's this guy called Sanballat. Say Sanballat. It even sounds like splat, doesn't it? Sounds like a really, you know, I hope no one's called Sanballat. If they are, I want to give them a new name. But, you know, this guy Sanballat was used by the enemy. But you know what I love most about God? This guy Sanballat was used by God. Because you and I can learn about how to deal with the enemy, because Sanballat was out there doing his thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, Sanballat had tried to aggravate, had tried to intimidate, had tried to harm and hurt Nehemiah and his team throughout the book of his name, throughout the book of Nehemiah. And we see in so many ways how the enemy tried to stop that man from doing what God called him. Let me tell you, you know, when you receive something from God, whether it's a word, whether it's an offering God wants you to give, whether it's to reach out to somebody, whatever it might be, whether it's to, you know, go bring love to someone. You know, what the enemy is after, you must remember, he doesn't care about you and me. You know, he doesn't like us. What he's trying to do is stop you from doing what God said to do. He's after your mission. He's after the job that God has given you to do. He wants you to put that to one side and instead focus on what he's focusing on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So here we have Nehemiah. At one point, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 1, and then I'll jump about a bit. It says, now it happened when Sanballat, oh, that old fella again. You know, that fella just shows up. He shows up. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks in it. Verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, listen, when stuff is going well in your life, that's very often when the enemy is going to start speaking. He's going to start challenging what God said, what God has done. And it's our job to recognize who it is that's challenging us, who it is that's intimidating. And so it says that he started to say, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Never go to Ono. I mean, really, you'd have thought that we could have just guessed. I mean, the enemy should have been a bit cleverer. Let's meet somewhere else. Not, oh, no. But they thought to do me harm. I'm going to jump to verse 5. Then Sanballat, because Nehemiah wouldn't go. So Sanballat comes up with a new plan. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me, as before, the fifth time. And this is the fifth in this incident. If you want to start counting how many times the enemy tried to stop Nehemiah, you'll be counting many, many, many. I've not done it, but you'd certainly be into sort of 12, 13, 14 different attacks and attempts to wear him down, to discourage him, to get him to stop. And here he brings a letter to read to everybody. And in this letter it says, you and the Jews plan to rebel. This is verse 6 now. Therefore, according to these rumors, you're rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you've also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. Now therefore, come. So he couldn't deal with Nehemiah, his other route. So what did he do? He starts creating these false rumors, these accusations. He wants to frighten Nehemiah. He wants to make Nehemiah stop doing the work. That's his aim. But he throws all this stuff. Say stuff. He throws all this stuff at Nehemiah. Accusation, attack, intimidation. Let me ask you, just for a moment, what are the things, the good things, that you are doing for God? What are the good things that have been in your heart to do for God? What are the things that you've sensed him just leading you towards? You know, because the chances are the enemy will have tried to throw something in your face to stop you. Chances are you'll have done everything. You know, Abby, I thank God for your life. You know, I mean, stuff's been hurled at this woman, at this family, at Dr. Douglas, Abby, the family. You know, but the most recent one. You know, she's on her way, she's been praying up, joined our corporate 21-day fast, absolutely ready, her and her husband, for our conference a few weeks ago, Days of Glory. And then what happens, literally, just a matter of days before, she fell. Now, this wasn't like, you know, being on the edge of a mountain and falling off at risk. You know, she fell down a doorstep and broke her leg. But let me tell you what I loved about it. She just did what she needed to do to be where she needed to be, irrespective. You see, what the enemy wanted to do was to stop this family getting their blessing. But she wouldn't allow the enemy to have his way. You know, the Bible says that trials will come, that persecutions will arrive, that we will go through tough times, that we will suffer. But it's how we respond to that. It's what we do about it. It's which emotions we allow to grow on the inside in the midst of it that makes the difference. One of the things, she had a plaster of Paris. And some of you will remember when my husband preached that message, The Devil Wears Prada. How many of you remember that? No, The Devil Wears Gucci. Thank you. Yeah, that's the movie. But he preached a message about the fact that our feet are on Satan's head. And the reason he called it The Devil Wears Gucci is that day he was wearing some nice shoes. So I wrote on Abby's plaster of Paris, the devil wears plaster. Amen. Amen. You see, the enemy was attacking Nehemiah. He was trying to stop Nehemiah by discouraging him, by weakening him, by getting him down. Are you hearing me? You know, and but this is what I love. Verse 8, Nehemiah says, "Then I sent to him saying," listen, we've got to learn to talk back to the devil. You know, if he's saying to you, "Oh, well, it didn't really happen," we've got to turn back and say, "Yes, it did. Not only did it happen, but it happened more than you even realize." You know, when he starts saying, "You know, you're this, you're weak, you can't speak to that person," we turn around and say, "Yes, I can. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, I can. Just because I messed up, that doesn't mean I'm not righteous. A righteous man falls 7 times. Amen. Amen. And he replied and he said, "No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart." He attacked back. He didn't just defend himself. Can you hear the difference? Sometimes we just defend ourselves. No, he attacked back. Say attack. 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 Hallelujah. Not me though, please. He attacked back. And it says in verse 9, "For they were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I want you to hear something in these two verses. The enemy was trying to weaken Nehemiah. He was trying to wear him down. And he didn't just say, "Oh, Lord, take the enemy away. Stop him from harassing me. Lord, change my boss's heart. Stop him from picking on me." He didn't say, "Lord, you know, deal with my husband who's just such a pig. Make him start to wake up every morning and go, 'My darling, you're so beautiful.'" Amen. He didn't say, "Oh God, I can't stand another day in the situation and the circumstances that I'm in." No. He came at this in the opposite spirit. He said, "He's trying to weaken me. Therefore, the status quo is not enough anymore, Lord." Are you hearing me? You see, Nehemiah was already strong. Say, already strong. He was already strong. And instead of saying, "Lord, keep him away. Don't let him do that. Protect the team." Defensive, can you hear? No, he didn't do that. He went on the attack. He said, "Heavenly Father, because they want to weaken me, strengthen me all the more, Lord." Are you hearing it? Amen. You know, you may have had the enemy attacking the health of your loved ones. Do you know we need to get to that place where we don't just stop with saying, "Lord, I want perfect health for my family, but God, I want a healing ministry." Amen. Are you hearing me? You know, it's so interesting. The last two ministry trips that I've been on in Miami, and then just at Healed for Life. I was sitting at Healed for Life and Sarah was ministering and her mum was sitting beside me. Her mum was part of the team. And I'm just sitting and I looked at Sarah, then I looked at her mum. Then I looked at Sarah, then I looked at her mum. And her mum was really being ministered to through her daughter. I looked back at Sarah. I no longer saw Sarah. I saw Abigail. I saw my daughter. I saw the ministry to which God's called her. It was nothing like the particular ministry that Sarah was flowing in at that moment. I saw this prophetic unction on my daughter. I saw her preaching with such fervency and fire and power. And I sat there. I wanted to burst into tears because it moved me so much. Because what I knew in that moment was I am going to receive so much through my daughter's ministry. I'm going to sit under her ministry and God is going to pour in his love, his power into my heart through the child that is currently 12 years old. Hallelujah. Now, why am I mentioning that in the context of this? You see, you know, even just last night, our daughter had a major problem in the night, a medical problem. I won't go into it because it was very, it was a bit personal. And so I was up. She came in at 4 a.m., quite upset by what had happened. And me, I got up, bless his heart, my husband, normally I just do it all, but my husband got up with me. And, you know, it took us about 45 minutes to just sort the situation out, to get Abby comfortable again, and to be able to just put her back to bed, back to sleep, sort everything else out, and then, you know, eventually fall back to sleep ourselves. Now, what would the enemy want me to do? Wake up going, oh, why? Why do I have to do these things? It's so hard. You know, my daughter, I have to see her go through these things. Oh, gosh. Lord, why? No. I just woke up thinking of that picture I saw at Healed for Life of my daughter preaching the word of God. Listen. You and I are going to celebrate together on the full manifestation of Abby's healing. You're going to see it with your eyes just as I'm going to see it with my eyes. And we will give glory to God for it. But you know, in the meantime, while I'm waiting, I'm just going to praise God anyway. While I'm waiting, I'm not going to let that get me down. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, kick butt. Turn to your other neighbor and say, kick butt. Hallelujah. Do you know there's times when God wants us to stop saying this is so hard? Yes. Listen, I'm all for, you know me, I'm all for facing the truth and dealing with the things we need to deal with. But there's a time and a season for everything. And there's a time to say, Satan, you're not going to get me down with this stuff. Yes. I'm not even going to let you reach my emotions. Do you know, the devil barks. Where's Gloria? I saw you somewhere over here. But he doesn't bite. Isn't that right? We were talking about this last night. The devil barks, but he can't bite. You know, there was something recently, and I just want to share this to demonstrate something to you. You know, if we bow to the bark, listen to this. If we bow to the bark, then we'll get bitten. And let me tell you a story to illustrate this. Not a story, but just at Healed for Life on the Thursday evening, we were ministering, and there was one really beautiful, sweet English lady who was waiting for prayer and really knew that what God wanted to do wasn't done yet. You know when you know it's not done? And you're just saying, I'm not going to budge until it's done. And she was standing in this line just, you know, waiting for prayer. The atmosphere was a wonderful atmosphere of worship and the presence of God. And I came to her and I said, has anyone prayed for you? And she said, no. I said, well, I'll pray for you. And I was just praying. It was a session where we were taking authority over the enemy, but we don't need to do that loudly. So I was just praying and just stand up a minute, Pastor Temi. And she was just standing there with her arms like this. So just do that with your arms. Yeah. And I was just ministering. And then, you know, just the Holy Spirit led me a different direction. I just said, in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit of death. Just like that. Thank you. Now, that demon didn't want to leave the spirit of death. Demons are real. Amen? Amen. And that thing, that very, very moment, very, very loudly and very suddenly, and anyone was there will have noticed. I mean, that thing, if you actually just come back again, Pastor Temi, if you hold the microphone, I'm gonna be her this time. You hold my microphone.
So I'm there, and then it literally just went.
With the loudest shrill you could imagine. Now, why am I telling you this? You see, anybody who saw that knew that that demon was trying to kill me. Right? Now, how am I saying it? It couldn't touch me. So once I got over the surprise of this thing, I just started to laugh. Before I then cast it out. 12 seconds later, she's on the floor, free, giving glory to the Lord. I could see those hands literally like this. But the glory of God was protecting me. The devil can bark, but he can't bite. But you see, if I'd been afraid, if I'd reacted, you know, because sometimes things happen that we aren't expecting. Say the unexpected. Things happen that we aren't expecting. And so when the unexpected happens, we've got to very quickly grab hold of our emotions. We've got to very quickly tell ourselves how we're going to react in this moment. Even if your first initial spontaneous response is, I mean, I was shocked when I suddenly heard this shrilling noise, literally, because this demon knew it couldn't get through. I mean, that nose was about 1 inch from mine, screaming at the top, you know, shrill noise. So I was a little bit surprised at first. But you see, if we take hold of our initial reaction, if we say no, like Nehemiah, no, I'm not going to allow intimidation. You know, maybe Nehemiah's first thought was, oh my goodness, he's going to tell the king and the king's going to send me back home again. He may have had that momentary response, but he didn't allow the reaction, the enemy's desired outcome to be his response. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got to learn to check how we respond to the things the enemy does. I remember when I got a call from a friend who'd taken Benji on a birthday party in Portsmouth. And he'd been knocked down by a car before, and then suddenly he's on a birthday party in Portsmouth. And I get this call from this utterly panicked friend of mine, the mother of my son's friend, saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. Benji's been... And in that moment, that's when we make the decision. And I spoke before she could finish. I said, it's well. Just tell me what happened. But it's well. We've got to grab our first response. Take it by the neck if we have to. And then replace it with the response that the word would give. It's not that we become, you know, I mean, the Bible says, be perfect as I am perfect. And I want to say it's not that we become perfect, but I don't want to contradict the word. But what I'm saying is that the enemy will always try and sow seeds. He will always try and use shock to open up our hearts. He will always try and get the agenda from us. So something terrible happens and suddenly that's the focus of our world. When God's saying, who asked you to make that the focus of your world? I've called you to do something else. I remember the periods when my daughter was in and out of hospital. I just said, Lord, I know what you've called me to do in this season is to win people. So every time I'm in hospital with my daughter, this is when she was small, I'm going to seek somebody to win. And I'd be on these wards where children were going through very, very serious surgeries. And I'd be able to reach out to these mothers and to these nursing staff and just share the love of God. The devil doesn't need to have the agenda. Just because there's stuff going on in your life, don't let him take the initiative. Amen. You take it back. Yes. You take it back and you decide what happens. You know, another thing that really blessed me was Sharon Oliver. Some of you will remember that her father passed away last year. When was it exactly? This time last year? Yes, last weekend, a year ago. And Sharon was due to minister at Harvest 2 days after he died, I think it was. And so I got in touch with her and said, you know, Sharon, of course, don't worry at all. you know, really, we understand you don't need to minister. And she said, I want to minister. Wow. She said, God's called me to minister. And of course, you know, she was sad. She loved her dad. But she said, you know, I'm celebrating his life, not focusing on my loss, but on his gain. And 2 days, I think it was, after his death, she's standing here ministering to the women of Harvest Church. What was she doing? Saying, you know, I'm not going to let death have the victory. Are you hearing me? Don't let the enemy take the agenda from you by the stuff that he will just throw at you. It's not worth it, because you know what? When we say, I'm not going to listen to that, you know, even I got a phone call Friday morning, very urgent phone call from my family home saying, you need to ring immediately. I rang immediately, and it was a matter to do with life and death. This was Friday morning as I'm at Healed for Life. And I heard what was being said, and I said, Father, you've called me for a purpose right now. So I'm just going to shut my heart to this. I'm going to get on with the job that's at hand. I said, look, I'm going to ring you later. There was nothing I could have done physically anyway. And I said, you know, I gave all my support and love and all the rest of it. And then said, no, I'm shutting this down. I'm going to get the job done. I'm here for a purpose. Satan, you're not going to put fear in my heart. You're not going to get me all shocked. And you're certainly not going to get me off mission. I'm going to stay on point. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay on point. Hallelujah. We're going to turn briefly to Acts 13. And I'm going to read 2 verses. Actually, I'd like it in the Amplified. Is that Gifty in the box? I can just see hair. No, it's Liz. Wonderful. Liz, if I could have Acts 13, verses from verse 50 in the Amplified, that would be wonderful. Acts 15 and verse 50. It's one of those long chapters. Oh, but there isn't a 50. Acts 13, thank you. I'm glad someone listens to me. I obviously don't listen to myself. Wonderful. And it says, but the Jews stirred up. Now, this is Paul, and they're out there. They're doing the will of God. They're preaching. They're getting people saved, healed, delivered, and they're just doing what God's called them to do. And then there's this wonderful word, but. Say, but. And then before we go any further, turn to your neighbor and say, kick butt.
Kick
butt. Hallelujah. But the Jews stirred up the devout women of high rank and the outstanding men of the town and instigated persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their boundaries. But, say but. The apostles shook off the dust from their feet against them. Are you hearing me? They've just been chucked out of somewhere. They've just been rejected, persecuted, accused. They leave that place and they do something they learned from Jesus. These two weren't with Jesus at the time, so they learned it from the guys who were with Jesus. And they said, we're going to shake the dust off our feet. Do you know what? You may have had a door slammed in your face while you were doing door-to-door evangelism, which you know God called you to do. But you say, I'm going to shake the dust of that rejection off my feet. You may have gone to a colleague at work to share the love of the Lord with them. And that person may have slammed you for it. But you say, Lord, I know you've called me to share. So I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. You may have reached out to a family member in love saying, look, let's reconcile after all this rift and pain. And they may have shouted at you and insulted you. But you say, Lord, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. And then the next verse, I love this. It says, and the disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy. What did they do? They said, no, we're not going to have that disappointment, that discouragement, that hurt. We're going to refuse discouragement and instead arise in praise. Are you hearing me? When the enemy's trying to discourage you, don't just go, oh, no, I'm not. I don't want to be discouraged. Put on the garment of praise. Start to give glory to the Lord Jesus. Start to just let that song arise from within you. So allow the goodness of God to be on your lips. Start to thank him for every triumph, for every victory that you've seen so far. Because the enemy wants us to look down, but God wants us to look. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you. Anytime the enemy sends a butt your way, what are you going to do? Let's do this again together. Anytime the enemy sends a butt your way, what are you going to do?
Kick butt.
Kick butt. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the way we get strong, the way we get strong is by acting as though we are strong when we're feeling really weak. Do you know, I know that one thing I've learned over the years is strength. People will often comment on strength they see. Do you know, I certainly didn't start out this way. But the way I got strong was just by carrying on and just acting as though I was feeling strong when I was feeling weak. I just did. You know, the Bible says put on strength. The Bible says take hold of strength. The Bible says be strong. You know, so it's something we choose to do rather than something that we feel. And it's a subtle difference, but if the enemy can convince us that strength is a feeling, we'll all say we're weak. Strength is something we do. Just lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray for every single person in this room and who's listening to this message online, through CD, wherever they're getting hold of it. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name for a change of thinking. Father, I pray that you would bring to each one's remembrance the next time a butt tries to rear its ugly head, whether it's a bill that lands on the doorstep unexpectedly, whether it's a rejection at work, whether it's sickness in the family, whatever it is, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that a renewed response would arise from within each one. That, Father, we'd become those who kick butt and put the enemy in his place. That we'd become those that take our eyes off what the enemy wants us to focus on and lift up our eyes to see what the King of Kings has got to say. Father, in Jesus' name, just as you've trained me and many others over the years in what it is to be strong, I pray for my brothers and sisters for strength to arise, for strength to arise, that they would take strength, that they would put on strength, and that, Lord God, when everything on the inside is saying give up, that they'd say, I'm going to be strong. Father, we give you praise for what only you can do. And we give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. And just as you remain in the presence of God, if you're here today and you've never given your life fully to God, you're not certain that if you were to die today, you don't know for certain that you would go to heaven. And you're saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus now. I want to live this life with him on the inside of me, the God of heaven living within me. I want to pray for you. If that's you, just lift up your hand. You're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you. Thank you. Any others, just lift up your hand. And maybe you're here and you've once done it and you're saying, I've backed off from the Lord and I want to rededicate my life to him. Would you just lift up your hand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just all pray together. And we'll say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan for my life. I surrender myself to you. I give my heart to you. And I ask that your will be done. I dedicate my life into your hands. Once and for all, use me. Strengthen me. And Lord, make me a blessing to many others, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.